One other item right before I bring the word is kind of connected to the word, so I want to share that with you as they put this on the screen up here today. Let's see if we can do that. All righty. It's behind me? All right, good. Go ahead.
Helpless babe, this gift of love.
Amen. I wanted to kind of get that out. I was looking through some things yesterday, and I don't know how you feel about it. That gives you somewhat of a picture of what he went through. And he did it for each and every one of us. This is why I don't take our relationship with the Lord lightly. No, we do take it for granted. Oftentimes I believe that I think if people actually had a true encounter with God, they would look at life totally different.
Amen.
God wants to visit with us, but he wants you to want him. He tells us to seek him where he may be found. We have to get to the point where we stop being consumed with self-interest, being self-absorbed, and so forth. Looking at life, this is only about self. I think when you understand the gravity of what was before us without him, I think it would make much more sense to those who may not understand. We're not going to do the wisdom moment for today. That was kind of taking the place during that period. So we're just going to go ahead and get into the word. I think I'm just going to talk. I think that's how it's going to come across. And then I'll discuss some things that share some things along the way. So that's my intention. It don't always work out the way I plan it. By whatever God wants is what it is. Amen. The scripture for the day is found in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 through 8, as well as 12 through 22. And I'll read, and those of you who want to stand for the reading of the word, we're going to ask everyone to do so. Go ahead and stand, and you can watch the monitors or your phones or your iPads and laptops and whatever we got, and your Bibles and so forth. But it reads, "For I delivered to you first of all," and by the way, this is Paul talking to the Corinthian church. "For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas, then by the 12. After that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that, he was seen by James, then by all the apostles. Then last of all, he was seen by me also, as by one born out of due time. Now, if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. If Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive." Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. And we're just going to talk a bit about the events that change our lives for eternity. The events that changed our lives for eternity. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, God, for this time. We thank you, Father, for your word. We thank you for life, health, and strength. We thank you, God, for the resurrection power of Christ Jesus. We thank you that you have thought about us and looked upon us and smiled. And so, God, we are truly grateful. We ask that you have your way in this hour, that your will be done. Not our will, not my will, but your will be done in this place, in this very time. To God be the glory. We praise and adore you, and we love you with our whole heart, mind, and soul. Holy Spirit, have your way. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. But the events that change our lives forever, as I say, I'll try to be light about it. I kind of got messed up again when I was sorting through some of those videos trying to come up with something. God tends to do that to me. But again, when you have that relationship with God and with the Lord, there's something about it that just resonates and it moves you and he penetrates you through the depths of who you are to the degree that you're never the same. So I submit to you, have an encounter with Jesus for real. And you'll understand. It's not something we just make up. It's a real deal. I'm excited today to be here and to acknowledge and celebrate our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Messiah, also known as Yeshua, which means salvation. HaMashiach means the Anointed One. We know that all man has sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God, which means that we were separated from God and had no human way to change or fix the breach between us. We were destined to die because of the judgment and wrath of God. With this in mind, to restore the relationship between God and man, God would have to do something. For we know that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And the voice, there's the passage of John 17, verses 1 through 5. It says, Jesus lifting his face to the heavens, Father, my time has come. Glorify your Son, and I will bring you great glory, because you have given me total authority over humanity. I have come bearing the plentiful gifts of God, and all who receive me will experience everlasting life. A new intimate relationship with you, the one true God, and Jesus the Anointed, the one you have sent. I have glorified you on earth and fulfill the mission you set before me. In this moment, Father, fuse our collective glory and bring us together as we were before creation existed. Again, that's John 17, verse 1 through 5 in the voice. We know that we have, as believers, been commissioned to spread the good news of Jesus to others. The good news is the gospel of Jesus the Christ. And these passages that Paul have written gives us the standard by which every definition of the gospel message must be measured. The message must include Christ's death. It must include his burial, his resurrection, and the testimony of witness to the resurrection. To preach the gospel message in its entirety, it would include these four points of truth. Amen, somebody. And so as we look at the passages here in the scriptures that Paul has written in 1 Corinthians 15, he says in verse 3, For I delivered to you first all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to scriptures. And that he was seen by Cephas, then by 12. He goes on and on to share with us the importance and what we sometimes in this day and age sometimes overlook and neglect. He gives us some level of understanding of the number of people who had seen him. We know that the idea of death is sometimes caused people to squeamish, and no one likes the idea of death. But for us to experience eternal life, it was a necessity that Christ died for us. God created us to be in fellowship with him, but we all have sinned and fallen short. We have broken the fellowship. But God, even though we deserve eternal punishment for our sins, God sent his son, who was so much better than the angels, to be made lower than the angels, that he may die for our sins, which then brings us to glory, destroy the power of the devil, and then he made propitiation with the Father. In essence, he paid the price for us to restore that which has been breached and lost. He had all of us in mind, even in this day in 2017. And what occurred nearly over 2,000 years ago, he was thinking about each and every one of us. Amen? Amen. So the Bible lets us know that while God's gift of salvation is free, that he does not require us to do anything to make atonement. It is not unconditional. He has revealed certain commands in his word that we must obey to show that we are willing to submit our wills to his will in accepting his offer of remission of sins. This is why the Hebrew writer goes on to say about the death of Christ, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered and have been perfected. He became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him, which is found in Hebrews 5, verses 8 through 9. The question always comes up, do we obey God? Do we trust God? Do we live for God? Is God our all in all? It is what's most important for each and every one of us to understand that there is a day of reckoning. There is a time in the future that we have to give an account. And so we are deep grateful that God loved us so that his son would die for us. As we show the video of what you saw, you also got to see somewhat the gruesomeness of that death. But it doesn't really show in totality because his face was marred to the degree he was unrecognizable. I could still recognize the person in the video, but can you imagine what it's like to be ripped to shreds? And he's been ripped to shreds because of you and I.
Yeah.
Because of our sins and how we have created this thing that we were far apart from God.
Yeah.
Just because of what the first Adam had done. And we all are inherit that which he has done. Yeah. For we were all born into sin. Yeah.
Amen?
But one thing I know is, as we try to go ahead and move through this quickly, I don't want to really be here long, but we'll see what we can do for you. If you're praying, maybe we can make it a little sooner and faster. How about that? All right, so now we got some folk praying that ain't prayed last week. Hallelujah. Before there's resurrection, death has to occur. Amen. For us to experience new life in Christ, something has to happen. This is why I like when the passage says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become brand new. There is a level that we all have to die as well. It is hard for man to have to contend with self because man is prideful. He's bent on pushing his agenda at the expense of God's agenda. Well, Pastor, why do you say that? Because if we didn't push our agenda at the expense of God's agenda, then we would be more like Christ on a day-to-day basis, regardless of what the circumstances and the environment that we come in or enter into. The way we would handle things would be more like Christ if God's agenda was primary in our lives. We are so bent on ourselves too often that we spend a lot of time fighting with folk that really should have no power over us. The interesting thing about life is that if you learn to live the life that Christ has for you, and you learn to allow him to abide in you and you in him, you really literally rise above the fray.
Amen.
You sit above all the activities and the plans and the schemes and the tricks of the enemy that works through people as well as in the invisible realm to work against you. You learn to rise above that and not allow that thing to dominate or control you. And that's why we can't do any of this in our own strength and power. Somebody in here might be a little bit upset with somebody that they've dealt with over this past week. And they're still holding on to stuff that God already said, let it go and move forward. Amen. Forgive them and let them live. So that you can also live a level of life that is higher than what you can imagine. So it is important that we learn that we have to also die to self. God is showing us so many things about this word that we have to begin to take an account of ourselves and really look at it and evaluate, make assessments. When you encounter somebody, would you die for them? And it doesn't even have to be a physical death, but just literally die for him that you say that they are so important to what God is doing, even though they may lack yet understanding, that you know that you're representing Christ all along the way. Amen. And that right there should bring somebody some joy when you start thinking about that God says that in you, that in him it is you are able to do. Because he's the one that does exceedingly and abundantly above all that you can ask or think. I think sometimes our prayers are lacking. I think sometimes we don't even want to forgive and let go. I mean, let God have his way. I believe that sometimes we really want to hold on to stuff that we have art with people. And we want to carry that. And the end of it, though, it makes us feel sick. It makes people unhealthy. And sometimes some of your struggles and sicknesses and stuff, you can attribute to the way you deal with God's business. But we don't want to go down that path most of the time. We have an idea that we believe in finding a scapegoat and having some Azazel that we can place our sins upon. And so we can send that out and say that our sins have been taken care of. And God says, until you do this thing by Christ, it is never going to work for you. Christ is everything to us.
Amen.
He has proven that. But these events, his death, we know that it was gruesome as he had to be going up to Golgotha's hill and so forth. And the people are squealing and screaming and spitting and laughing and they just making a mockery of him. All of those things they're doing to him, but really he's taking it for us. It's been said concerning the burial of Jesus was part of his humiliation. It was not until he was raised from the dead that humiliation ended. We know that his soul or spirit went to be with the Lord at the moment of his death, but his body was buried in a tomb. Thus he suffered the humiliation of the intermediate state of the separation of the body and soul. As long as he was under the power of death, this state continued. The primary truth that also that the burial teaches us is that Christ did really and actually die and was laid in a grave. He did really suffer. He really was bruised for our iniquities. He really did die. We need to make account of that and consider that. I think about nowadays, as we've talked about recently, we have seeing that there are more and more people who try to diminish him to non-existence. Yeah. It used to just be that they just didn't believe, you know, in him, and they would go around and they'd say, well, I believe Jesus was a prophet, and that's all he was. He was just a good man. And that used to be more what you would get. Now they're trying to totally remove him from everything. You know that you're dealing with Antichrist spirit for that to happen. And if you get caught up in it, you may also practice Antichrist activity unknowingly. You can be so smart and so dumb all at the same time. I know folk don't like to hear things like that, but ignorance is not a virtue. Amen. We have to really consider what the word says, because if he is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man can come to the Father but by him, it only makes sense that the enemy would do everything possible to cause man not to believe he's the way, the truth, and the life. Well, Pastor, isn't there many ways to the Father? No, there's only one way, because the truth has spoken. The word has spoken. And the word transcends time. His word is eternal. It is not something that has been trumped up, made up just in recent times. This word has been eternal before even the foundations of the world were ever established. And in God, there ain't nothing new. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
There's nothing new. As I often say, you cannot introduce anything to God. So if you decide to do something that's contrary to the will of God, you didn't trick God. You didn't fool God. You didn't manipulate or deceive God. God knew it before you ever entered into this earth realm. God already knew you.
Yeah.
He already knew your end from the beginning.
Yeah.
There is nothing that you're doing or have done that you have tricked God. There's nothing. Because you would imply then that God is somebody just like us and that we have to encounter information as we go. God is omniscient. He knows everything all at the very same time. So time is not included in the equation with God. Amen, somebody. So we look at the burial, but when we think about, there's one thing important about that. The effect of his burial is that we too were buried to sin or in sin. And our baptisms is a picture of that. You know, we think about, and sometimes I say you can get baptized, but if Christ ain't in it, you just go in a devil and come out a wet devil. If Christ is not in it, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord is, you know, who says that, I should say, everyone who claims that they are in Christ ain't in Christ because they have not yet accepted him. See, it is possible to have a mental understanding that he exists, but never a heartfelt change that has been driven, that has been created and established by the grace and the power of the Holy Spirit working through us. See, the truth of the matter is you can't even come to Christ if the Spirit is not involved.
Amen.
Sometimes people hear good words about things and they start saying, yeah, I believe, but the next moment that they don't believe. And so they go in and out of this here because it's mental ascent. It's not real heartfelt transition. Heartfelt transition is really the way it counts and where it matters. This is the part that you're going to have to consider for your life. Am I really with God? Is he dwelling on the inside of me? Or am I just trying to perpetrate and cause folk to believe that I am for real? There's a lot of things in life we talk about that people have done and so forth over time. And we look at the course of history. We look at all the propaganda that has gone forth. In ways that man has caused people to believe in one thing when it was really just something to cause you to focus on why the real deal was happening on another side. Man tends to do that. He wants people to believe one thing while they're carrying on some other activity that they don't want to tell the truth about. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
I know there are people that sit here at times, and it is what it is. We love you either way it go.
Amen.
Amen. You know, folk lie to pastors and they don't think it mean anything because they got accustomed to dealing with some pastors that wasn't real pastors at times. And then they also started thinking that everybody's just the same in a certain way, but that really is not true because we may put our pants on, but we don't live life the same way.
Amen.
Everybody don't serve the same God. Amen, somebody. So when you say we are, you know, that you just a man, just like I'm a man, I say, well, that ain't necessarily true. I don't know what kind of man you are. Hey, you may be a heathen, and I'm a God man, so that's two different kinds of men. I do know one thing, that God cares for his own, and he looks out for me, just as he looks out for each one of you who are his children.
Amen.
And so when we become haphazard about the way we approach other people, then God is telling us, he said, well, you didn't just enter into my domain. You entered into my world, and now you're getting involved in something you yet not understand because I have created them, shaped, mold, and make them, and I am still in the process of shaping them into what I want them to be.
Yeah.
It is not your objective to come in and interfere with my program.
Yeah, right.
And so this is why we learn to pray for folk. We learn to love folk.
Yeah, yeah.
We learn to give God's the light, to show the light of God working through us to them so that they can find themselves and find their way out. Today, everybody knows everything. And as I said, they know it, but don't understand it. They have information, and then they don't have application either. So it's an interesting thing how you can pervert something that you have information, but you don't even know how to carry it out. The one thing about the Word of God carries out exactly what he means to do. Everything that he said, he does.
Yes. Hallelujah.
If he said it, it is true.
Yes.
Amen, somebody. It is not like coming into being. It is not evolving. It's not something that he got to start tweaking and all of that. Whatever he says is really what it is. See, we can't always say that. Sometimes man will say some stuff, but what they say ain't really what they really mean. What they say ain't really what they really gonna do. They just trying to appease somebody, because people are people pleasers. And you can tell a people pleaser because they'll say anything when they're dealing with a person. But a God pleaser is going to say what thus said the Lord and will tell you the truth. Come hell or high water, whether you like me or you don't, whether you can't stand me, whether you want to talk about me, it really don't even matter, because we stand in the power of truth. Because of what the Lord has done, we know victory is ours. So we ain't worried about what man got to say. Some of you struggle with that because man has caused you to turn into Fruit Loops and stuff, because you all kind of crazy and twisted in the head today because of what man is saying, or what even you might perceive them to think they might be saying about you. But when you're doing that, really God is saying that there's something else going in you where you're insecure in yourself, because you're projecting onto other folk what you really believe they may feel about you or how you would also do to them. You ain't got clean hands and a pure heart. If your heart ain't pure, then you're projecting some stuff onto somebody else that ain't got nothing to do with them necessarily. Because the heart can be is deceitful, and you done tricked yourself. And so man is trying to come up with all these different things to trick people, as well as the enemy. They practice that satanic type stuff. I don't believe God comes into the business of trying to trick you, but there's someone that does. And you have to evaluate what you're dealing with and who you're talking to. I want you to understand that when somebody don't speak life into you and all they speak is death, they're not speaking for God.
Amen.
When they start telling you what your destiny is and they hadn't heard from God, they don't really know what they're talking about. And for some reason, God has me on this page, and we're going to continue to walk through it as we go through it. There are some things in you that also need to die.
Yeah.
It may be somebody is dealing with some stuff where lying is a part of their life characteristics and their attributes, that God says you need to kill that thing.
Yeah.
You need to kill that gossip when you're scandalizing other folk name. God is saying you need to die to self.
Yeah.
Because you're not doing anything good for the kingdom. People don't get that. But we all talking about we representing. Well, let's represent.
Amen.
Let us represent. One thing is this. We are dead with him, because if we're in him, we become one. That's one thing about his death. We became dead with him. But we are also, when he rose again, then we are also risen with him. Because we are one with him. Because we are one with him, and he's seated in heavenly places, that's why we sit in heavenly places. Because we are one with him. But if you don't understand the truth, then that the enemy is going to manipulate the whole concept of what God is talking about. Because we still thinking that everything is just about what's down here. If Christ reigns, and that we are in Christ as the part of the body of Christ, then we also will reign with him.
Amen.
We reign with him.
Amen.
We ought to be walking this thing, this life, a whole different way. Kings don't walk around like paupers. I don't know. You see people, they live like that every day. They will never hold their head up. They will never act as though who they really are in Christ. You will never see that in some people. And so you have to begin to wonder what really is going on the inside of them. Amen?
Amen.
We're getting almost to a close, but I need to cover something. How about that, Brother Brian Hodrick? I hear your voice laughing. I can tell that voice. Brother, Brother Larry, Minister Larry talked about some of the historical evidence where he just mentioned the fact that it does exist. And the historicity of the claim of who God is has been communicated by various people at various times, not having any kind of relationship with Christ necessarily. And they spoke to the veracity of those truths. Tacitus, as an example. I'm just going to give you a few of these just to give you an idea. Let's look at some of the inquiry. And this is from a historian, Edward Yamachi. He said probably the most important reference to Jesus outside the New Testament, reporting on Emperor Nero's decision to blame the Christians for the fire that had destroyed Rome in AD 64. The Roman historian Tacitus wrote, he says, Nero fastened the guilt on a class hated for their abominations, called Christians by the populace. Christus, from whom the name had its origin, suffered the extreme penalty during the reign of Tiberius at the hands of Pontius Pilate, and a most mischievous superstition, thus checked for the moment, again broke out not only in Judea, the first source of the evil, but even in Rome. So what can we learn from this ancient and rather unsympathetic reference to Jesus and the early Christians? Notice first that Tacitus reports Christians derive their name from a historical person called Christus, from the Latin or Christ. He is said to have suffered the extreme penalty, obviously alluding to the Roman method of execution known as crucifixion. So even Tacitus, who's not Christian, he writes about Christ, and Christians are followers of Christ. Amen? But people still say, well, we don't believe because the only thing you got is the scripture. I think the scripture really is just enough. But there are historical people who wrote of the historicity of and the truth of who Jesus is, as well as the people who followed him. Pliny the Younger. Another important source of evidence about Jesus and early Christianity can be found in the letters of Pliny the Younger to Emperor Trajan. Pliny was the Roman governor of Bithynia in Asia Minor. In one of his letters dated around AD 112, he asked Trajan advice about the appropriate way to conduct legal proceedings against those accused of being Christians. But Christians have been going through for a long time. Pliny says that he needed to consult the emperor about this issue because a great multitude of every age, class, and sex stood accused of Christianity. At one point in his letter, Pliny relates some of the information he's learned about these Christians. They were in the habit of meeting on a certain fixed day before it was light, when they sang in alternate verses a hymn to Christ as to a God. And you see how he says to a God, because he's not a child of God, so he's not understanding who they are. And who Christ is, because he say, as to a God, and bound themselves by a solemn oath not to any wicked deeds, but never to commit any fraud, theft, or adultery, never to falsify their word, nor deny a trust when they should be called upon to deliver it up. After which it was their custom to separate and then reassemble to partake of food, but food of an ordinary and innocent kind. Not only does Pliny's letter help us understand what early Christians believed about Jesus, the person, it also reveals the high esteem to which he held, or they held, in his teachings. For instance, Pliny notes that Christians bound themselves by a solemn oath not to violate various moral standards, which they found their source in ethical teachings of Jesus. Just some examples. Josephus. Josephus tells us perhaps the most remarkable reference to Jesus he writes about dealing with, in this case, he says, about this time, there lived Jesus as a wise man, and this is in the Testimonium Flavianum. If indeed one ought to call him a man, for he wrought surprising feats. He was the Christ. When Pilate condemned him to be crucified, those who had come to love him did not give up their affection for him. On the third day, he appeared, restored to life, and the tribe of Christians has not disappeared. Evidence from the Babylonian Talmud. There are only a few clear references to Jesus in the Babylonian Talmud, a collection of Jewish rabbinical writings compiled between approximately AD 70 to 500. Given this time frame, it is naturally supposed that the earlier references to Jesus are more likely to be historically reliable than the latter ones. And it goes on and just speaks about some of the things and events, and I'm not going to go through all of them. Lucian as well of Samosata was a second century Greek satirist. In one of his works, he wrote of the early Christians as follows. The Christians worship a man to this day, the distinguished personage who introduced their novel rites and was crucified on that account. It was impressed on them by their original lawgiver that they are all brothers from the moment that they are converted and deny gods of Greece and worship crucified sage and live after his laws. And see, he puts it right in the vein of they're all brothers. This is what God is telling us. It is not just limited to the Bible. The truth of the matter is he was not just a biblical person or character. He was also a historical character. And people don't want to own up to that. So like Brother Larry said, why don't you start researching? If you want to start denying Christ, why don't you research Christ first for real? And look at the real stuff and not the fake phony stuff. Amen, somebody. And the enemy is tricky. Let's talk a little bit about the resurrection and we're gonna go ahead and go in. Amen. The resurrection of Jesus is foundation to the Christian faith. And we see that in these letters here. When Paul does say again in 1 Corinthians 15, and if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching in vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are also found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. And so he's talking to, you know, in Acts it kind of talks about it a lot where what Paul was dealing with when he was going through his trials, Paul had to contend with these Jewish leaders. And you had Pharisees and Sadducees, and he'll play off because he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, understanding that the Pharisees also believe in the Spirit, Pharisees believe in the resurrection, but the Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection. So he had to contend with some of those who did not believe in the resurrection. And he writes there, well, if he's not raised up, then nothing works for us anymore. Right? If Christ is not raised up, then we don't have anything to work with. Our faith is really futile. There's nothing to hang our hat on. And that's why he comes under assault over and over and over again. If people had their way, if they could, they would put him on the cross again and try to rip him to shreds once more and again. Amen, somebody. So we know that he did come into this life. We know that he also was seen. And let me go and finish that. We know that he was seen in verse 4, that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scripture, and that he was seen by Cephas, then by the 12, and that he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. Paul is letting us know that there were people of the 500 who had seen him. Some of them were still alive at the time of what he was communicating here. Some of them had fallen asleep, but some of them were still alive. And so when people sometimes come up with the foolishness that Christ never existed, then what we have is historical information from those who had really no sympathies toward Christ. And then we have what the Bible says. And we see in the Bible that there were men, women, over 500 at one time who got to see him. If it was not true of what they were talking about, I imagine, think about this. If you really wanted to know back then, you could have just asked from the ones who were still there, that were alive, who was able to communicate that he rose again. The devil don't want us to know that, because the devil don't want us to have that relationship with Christ, that we can die and then we rise again. When Adam is sin, we died spiritually as well as physically. When Christ came, he's telling us that we can spiritually live again. And it only occurs because of his death, his burial, and resurrection. We do have testimony of witness that there were many who had seen evidence of his existence. I don't want anyone to be naive about who he is. It is time for us to continue to go another level in Christ, to really take him more seriously and to take what he's done for us and not to live a haphazard lifestyle as if God is irrelevant and that God is impotent and God lacks power to do what he can do and does do. It is time for us to submit ourselves to his rule and his reign, amen, to come into a relationship with him like we've never done before. I can recall in scripture where it talks about even things that we desire. He said, you have not because you ask not. But then he also tells us that sometimes we ask amiss because we don't even come in faith and we come with wrong motives. And so God is trying to clean up some stuff. He wants to clean up some stuff in us. You know, we often talk about if a man don't treat his wife right, then his prayers are hindered. But don't nobody want to hear that. But God's word has already spoken to that. So how you treat one another also plays a role in how things come back to you. Amen, somebody. As I said, I wasn't going to be before you long. I wasn't going to even hype it up, you know, because I know I lose it sometimes. When you think about everything God has done, your soul ought to cry and sing hallelujah. It ought to shout hallelujah. Yeah, shout hallelujah. We serve a risen Savior. Y'all remember that song? We serve a risen Savior. He's in this world today. I know that he's living no matter what they say. Y'all remember that song? Yeah, we serve a risen Savior. And because he lives, we live too. Hallelujah. You will experience eternity. Either with God, which is called eternal life, or apart from God, which is eternal damnation. Choose ye this day whom you will serve. I place before you life and death. If you are wise, choose life. Choose life. And God comes, the Lord lets us know that he comes, the Lord has come here to this earth realm, and he says that he is the life. And because of him, you can have life more abundantly. I know what abundant life looks like because I ain't weighed down. I've asked God, and I will continue. If I ever slip, slide, or whatever, I continue to talk to God. Lord, forgive me. And if you trip out on me, and I'll say, forgive them, Lord, for they know not what they do. We want to represent Christ all the way. There's nothing greater. This is the most exciting time to me. Amen. Amen. And I was able to, Sister Antoinette, I was able to stay low-key. Didn't y'all, aren't y'all proud of me? Did y'all proud of me? I was low-key today. Some people can't relate to low-key. If it's Sister Tracy in Minnesota, she's like, come on, Pastor! Sister Tracy up in Minnesota, she called me the other day, and she was just talking about, oh, Pastor, I saw you one day. Oh, Pastor, you were going in, Pastor. Relationship. Amen. That's what it's about. Relationship. You can be who you want to be in Christ, who he's made you to be, and you can live that life for his glory for real, for real, for real. Amen. Amen. Well, I pray that God has spoken to you, and we're turning it off right now. I pray that God has spoken to you, that he is true. He is the one true living Savior. We all need a Savior. Amen. For we have fallen short. And we were in our sins. Today, if God is speaking to us, if there's anybody in the house today that has not accepted Jesus for real as Lord and Savior of your life, this is really a good time to do so, because we only have one way to get in, and that way is through Christ. If you hear another voice that's telling you that that ain't true, you need to curse that thing at the root. Amen. And let the devil know you will not okey-doke me. You will not play me for a fool. Some of you got to get bolder when you communicate with that enemy and them tricks that he tries to place upon you. But if there's somebody today that has not accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life, we do want to extend that a call to you. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through him. If you're in the house today, I recall, I'm going to step down for a second. I've spoken about this before. And Sister Tamisha, Sister Jackie, some of you guys who come from the home church. I remember one of the deacons, and this would have been probably around early 2000, 2001, maybe 2002 at the latest. And I had a conversation with this brother, and he had been a deacon for years, and he was over 60 years old. And he, after hearing certain words and having experience when he started getting to the word, and as we were preaching, and we were kind of some of the young cats coming out, and we were just coming in, we were gung-ho. We're still gung-ho, but we gung-ho, because we want to tell the truth. We don't care who out there and who it is. I don't care how old they are, what sex, creed, color, whatever. We're going to tell the truth. And it started making an impact on him. He wound up experiencing God. And he said, and he was over 60 years old, getting close to 70. And he said to me, I never knew I wasn't saved. He said he didn't even know. He had this encounter and God started revealing things to him and shared with him and showed up mightily in his life. All those years of being a deacon at the church, he thought he was saved. Some folk have been tricked. Some folk have tricked themselves. See, again, we say sometimes in a light way, you could be in a garage, but it don't mean you're a car. You can come into this building, like any building on the face of this earth that we call houses of God, but it don't mean that everybody who's in the building is saved. It doesn't mean that. That's why we keep speaking about relationships. See, some of you ought to really be reflecting and thinking about, really, have I really submitted my life to Christ? Because I sure been doing me. And Christ is just the last thing that I consider. He's the last thing I consider. And I'm not saying you ain't saved, but sometimes you might be suspect. Yeah. Why do I say this? Because it's not God's will that any man lose his soul. And if we are in Christ, then by the same token, it is not our desire that any man miss out on being with the Father eternally. Amen. This is why we don't get consumed when we sit in a place like this and we say, if there's anybody has not accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life, right? When we ask that, it's very serious. Now, the only person going to really know is Christ. The Lord God is the only one going to know. See, we can come up here. That still doesn't guarantee. Because a lot of folk come up and say stuff.
Yeah.
It still doesn't guarantee that they're saved. Because they may not ever really receive him. Okay, does the devil know who Jesus is? I can remember when them demons start getting stirred up, and Jesus would check them and tell them not to say nothing. Like, close your mouth, because it's not really the time for that revelation to come forth. And they knew who he was. Demons know who he is, but they did not submit unto him that way, because they exalted themselves and followed the enemy, Satan himself. So if they know who he is, that he is the Lord God Almighty, you have to ask yourself, and think about this, they also know the word.
Amen.
So one, Brother Gene, they know who he is. They know he is the word. They know about the word and the word.
Right.
Because that's why they try to manipulate it.
Right.
You have to ask yourself the question, do I really know him? And say I know him. Do I know the word? Say you do. But what differentiates you from the demon if they do the same? Now, for those who may be a little confused, I ain't call nobody in here a demon. Because, see, I know demon tricks.
Right.
It is what it is. See, when you hear something like that, the demon just got you. He just played you. But we take this for real. We're in the business of called check yourself.
Amen.
I ain't got to check you. That ain't my call. It's yours to check yourself with Christ.
Amen.
And you measure it by what God told you. Amen.
Amen.
Something in you needs to die today. Amen. So that life can be reborn or put back into you. New life.
Amen.
The life of Christ. If you're holding on to some stuff that you don't need to hold on to, you might be saved. Let it go. Even if you say, because it can become like a cancer. And it'll eat you alive. Is there one? Before we go, is there one? Amen. That's a call. Second call, there may be somebody who's looking for a church home. And we wanted to call you up today. This is what God has called you to be in the family of New Direction, because it is a family. If God has called you to be here, we extend that call to you as well.
Amen.
If you're in the house today. Amen. Well, y'all look sleepy. Some of y'all do. Ain't getting no rest last night. Well, yeah, I hope y'all ain't no night crawlers. Night crawlers. Amen. God bless you.
Johnny.
How are you today? Mm-hmm. How are you today? I pray that you're doing well. Ushers, let that be light. We call those things to be not as though they are. Sister Cheryl, I got, guess we're going to put some tape back on so we remember them colors again. Come on, stand right here and just turn around and face the audience. We have, I guess three, two. Three. You put that should. Now, what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna turn it over to the man here, and then we're gonna turn it over to the lady here, the woman, and then we're gonna pass the mic. But I'm gonna let them speak and tell us who they are. They come to be a part of this family. Turn it over to you for real quick if you have something to share.
Yeah, I enjoyed the messages here. What it was talking about, Jesus died on the cross, and it really showed a lot of inspiration how things that help people going through things here.
Amen. 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 It's your turn.
Under God.
What's your name?
My name is Johnny.
Johnny.
Johnny Carthorne.
And give us your name.
Gloria Carthorne.
All right. Sister, tell us who you are.
Sister Parker's mother.
All right. Mama, come on in the house.
Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank God for being here. I've been here a couple of times. And it's something about this church. My pastor died, Pastor Washington. Mm-hmm. And my mother, she was one of my pastors too. She went on to be the Lord 209. Mm-hmm. But I was telling my granddaughter, I want to be a member of this church, you know, because something by Pastor Cy. You know, you don't find that too much, that's speaking the word and the truth. And, you know, folks, this is just something that you just, you know, said a great falling away, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But this is what I told my husband. I said, I want to join here, you know. Yeah. Need the word. I'm an ordained minister.
Oh, I know.
So, but, you know, I just love the Lord. And I want to be in the fellowship. I want to be a part of the service, part of the members. You know, this is my goal.
Amen.
And I thank God for the pastor. God bless you.
God bless you. Now, I don't know if I'm putting you on the spot. That's why you didn't want to come up here. Go ahead, tell us your name. I know you're shy. Stand behind him right there. Now tell him. We're going to block you in. What's your name?
Candace.
Candace shy, y'all. Candace, you know, I remember that conversation about you being shy. We're going to pray that thing off of you here. Because we're going to believe God is going to show up mighty. Now, I'm going to cut you some slack today, okay? But we're going to get together. You good? We're going to get together because we're going to pray that spirit off. Because I used to have a shy spirit. And don't y'all say nothing. Man, one of y'all. So Jackie, you better think. I wasn't shy in the house. That's what it was. Among family, I probably was a terror to some degree. But when I was out and about, but only until I got about 12, 13, that spirit, God was talking to me. I'm just being honest with y'all. God was talking to me around that time, and I realized that thing about not wanting to talk to people when people said stuff to me, that it didn't make sense. So this is what you got now. God did it.
Amen.
Y'all can't even see. Y'all didn't know I was shocked. Sister Karen, they didn't know. They didn't know. So you in good company. I've been there. There's a God, the Spirit of God, he gives you boldness. All right? And he's going to give you that boldness. And you're gonna use the boldness as an as-need basis. Somebody roll up on you front. Because see, watch this. And tell me if I'm wrong. If the wrong person roll up on you, I bet you ain't got a problem of letting them know. What's she doing back there? See, when I got close to you, God started talking some more. So, when it comes down to this kind of atmosphere, she gets shy. But if somebody roll up on her the wrong way out there, she gonna let them know. And she won't hold her peace. So that's the other part about being here, New Direction. I ain't the only one. They are all over here. These your brothers and sisters. Amen. This is what we just about Christ. That's what we're about. We can't have no agenda except it's the agenda of Christ. And y'all know you gotta be checked when you get out of line. We gotta check ourselves. Right? That being said, we're gonna make this easy. We want the church to stand and let us welcome this family. We want your involvement, your participation. We want you to understand who we are. We talk in terms of giving. We talk in terms of talents. We talk in terms of studying and reading the Word of God. Those are significant to us. Amen. Now, Sister Jackie over there, which is literally my blood sister, right? That's the inner blood as opposed to the blood of the Christ. She's my blood sister by mama and daddy, but blood sister in Christ too. Bless God. So we want you to see her before you leave. Now, last thing is that this man right here, he's doing new members even right now. So I want you guys to make sure all that is communicated, however y'all need to make that happen. But we do welcome you, and we look forward to what's to come.